Well, now, I've been waiting for this opportunity, and you may say, well, what's the big deal here? Something about a horse? Yes, indeed, about a horse. A miniature horse that can help you and me to get our heads together. The word is a therapy miniature horse. That's the formal way it goes. We're going to learn about Poppy right now, and we're going to figure out how I can show you that Poppy is really standing here, because Shelley Privett is the person who's actually had a change in her life, I think. She is actually a corrections officer in Delaware County. It's her day job. But now her life has taken a turn because she is the handler and the owner, folks, of Poppy. Now, by the time you're hearing this, you likely have already seen Poppy someplace, maybe met Poppy, who's out and about already, just honing the edges, if you will, of her training. And Shelley also owns Mom and Dad. Did I ask you Mom and Dad's name yet?
No, you haven't.
Go right, and welcome. I'm welcome to our program.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here. It's an honor.
Oh, well, and Mom and Dad are who?
So her mom is Sally, and her father is Howdy Do Buckaroo. Not the keenest on the name, but he's registered, so we have to keep it that.
And they both, of course, are miniatures.
Yes, they are both miniatures.
Now, are horses bred down or some way? I mean, are there actually, I guess what I'm saying, are there natural miniature horses?
They were bred down to be miniatures.
Okay.
Back in the 1800s. Most of them, they started over in towards England. And you had to be very, very rich to own a miniature horse over in England.
Well, so there's a long history, really.
Yes. Yes.
So, there you were doing your job, and then along came this newbie, a little over a year old?
Yep, just a little. June 1st was her birthday.
And lives here in Central Ohio, I assume.
Yes.
Well, fill us in then. At what point did you have an inkling that Poppy would go well beyond your pasture?
Well, she was probably about not quite 3 months old. I said, hey, let's put her in the back of the car and go to the 4-H meeting tonight. And we did just that. She got in the car, and she did very well driving to Delaware and went to the 4-H meeting. The kids were all over. We're all excited. She was just so docile and just kind of was let everyone pet on her, and everyone smiled. So I was like, hey, therapy horse. So
that was spontaneous then.
Very spontaneous.
And you saw the possibilities then.
I sure did. It was very spontaneous. She went to the Delaware County Fair last year with her mom, and it was just, you know, she's not one to go out in her paddock and kick up and throw a fit. She doesn't rear, she doesn't buck, she doesn't, you know, bite. She had the nibbling stage, and, you know, like all babies do.
Sure.
Other than that, like, this is Poppy. And if you've seen her out at First Fridays or, you know, any event that we've been out to, this is Poppy. Mm-hmm. She's ears forward, all happy, and just loving to give some love to other people and make someone's day better.
Now, who sold the idea? Did you take it to Sheriff Martin, or did he learn? How'd that all happen?
I actually took it to Sheriff Martin. I wrote a letter of interest to him to ask him if they would be interested in having a therapy horse, something different. You know, everyone has therapy dogs.
Yeah.
But who has a therapy horse?
Did he take to it pretty quick?
He sure did.
I know he's a guy that listens, and
yes.
and so he saw the possibility.
Yes. The first time he met Poppy was kind of funny. He was like a kid in a candy store. He was doing selfies in his office with Poppy. And just the smile on his face, like, you could tell he was excited.
Maybe she got to him like you think.
Yep.
She'll get to a lot of people.
Absolutely.
Explain this business of what you can get. I already have. I've been quite frank with people. I lost my wife several months ago. I had some other things, it had been a tough year, and I immediately can feel that, and I've been standing here with my hand on her most of the time, Are there some people who don't get it?
Yes. Horses aren't for everyone. There's people that are afraid of horses or they don't believe in it. And that's fine. There's an animal for them as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But looking into the horse's eye is, like, it's amazing.
You were saying the eyes, the kind of the window of the soul, as they say?
Yes. You know, there's been plenty of times that I've had to walk into the stall after working at the jail, and I just need a breather.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was a bad day, and I could walk in to her stall and just stand there, and she knows that I need her as much as she needs me.
Are you allowed to take Poppy into where you work?
She has been in the jail. We haven't done any inmate interaction yet. That's something that...
You think it might be worth it?
Yes. That's something that we are going to work on implementing in the jail. Now, the corrections officers, they're always asking me, when are you bringing Poppy in? When's Poppy coming? When's Poppy coming?
But it can happen.
Yes.
That's great to know. Now, folks interested should, how's the contact to get Poppy to visit?
So people would need to go onto the sheriff's office webpage and then go under special event requests and then just click Poppy and ask for Poppy to come and fill out the form.
Spelled P-O-P-P-Y?
Yep.
I thought, okay.
Yep.
Make sure.
Yep.
Wow. And Poppy has she resisted in any way to your training?
Not at all.
Really? Oh, you got some help down in Butler County. That was kind of the source of it.
Yes, Seven Oaks Farm is the one who has the training for miniature therapy horse. That's who I went through.
Mm-hmm.
And then also Tim Funk from Stock Hands Horses for Healing. We've been working together. I'll go to his place, and he's been help assisting in some of our training as well. So mm-hmm. between Seven Oaks Farm and Tim Funk, they've been amazing.
We should name her veterinarian.
Her vet is Dr. Pickin. He's out of Delaware Cross Country Veterinarian Service. He laughs at me because I always bring Poppy in to, you know, just for a little well check, make sure everything's going well. So mm-hmm. I think she probably gets well checks more than an average toddler or infant would get well checks.
What tips do you have? So when folks meet Poppy, what should their approach be?
Poppy's very well behaved when people are approaching. I've had kids, especially in her training, we train to have kids run up, screaming, hollering, and, you know, hugging on her and just being erratic around her just to see what she would do. And she stands like she is now, perfectly still.
Perfectly still.
So I try to typically, she likes to have her mane and her neck petted. They can pet along the sides. I tend to stay away from the face just because, you know, we are working with an animal. No matter what animal it is that, you know,
things... What if a child, without thinking, reaches up? She's not going to bite anybody.
No, she won't bite anyone.
Mm-hmm.
We just try to keep... And when I stand as kids are approaching, I always try to make sure that I'm standing in a position where I have a hold of her halter. I can move if I need to, if something looks wrong.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to take a quick break here, and I'm coming back. I wasn't sure how long we'd do this. We're going on, folks. Be right back with you. So, that's a sell for Poppy. I'm Tom, by the way, Tom Weeble, and you figured out. Chris Johnston is sort of assisting in all this program, and an old radio guy, too. I'm moved by this miniature horse, and I want to learn some more things. So training went pretty well. And did you have anything to base this on? A previous pony or anything?
No, nothing.
Mm-hmm.
I was the training packet that was sent from Seven Oaks Farm had different obstacles that she had to do, different tests that I had to do when it comes to handling her, what we need to do out on visits, the HIPAA violations. Like it covers a whole lot of information, and it's very good information. Poppy is so willing to do whatever I ask her to do. Hmm. If you take, you know, like the bleachers at a stadium, you have the one you step up on and then you have a step down, that bottom rail, I can get her to walk across that. No issue.
Hmm.
I have had, you know, training where wheelchairs, they'll come up and bump onto her, you know,
yeah,
people with walkers, balloons popping in her face or balloons, you know, bouncing around her head. And this is how she acts, as calm and docile as she is right now standing in this room.
Wow. Can she pick your voice out?
Yes. I can walk in her paddock with all the other horses and she comes straight to me.
Wow. Well, I'm going to throw it to you. What else do we need to think about and what we can look forward to when we meet Poppy?
Well, looking forward to when you meet Poppy is the smile that it's going to come across your face, the sense of calm. You know, you can bend down and look in her eyes and see that connection that the two of you could have between her eyes and your eyes.
Have you converted some skeptics already?
Yes, I have. We visited Smith Elementary School in Delaware. And each grade came out individually, and we talked about Poppy, and they all got to pet on Poppy. And there was a handful of kids that were petting on her that she kind of turned her head and started to sniff them. And the gentleman that was working with me on that visit was like, I'm sold. I seen that.
Can Poppy sense things, you're saying?
Yes, she can sense that someone's having a bad day and that someone needs help.
You think are you already to a point where people will say, I need Poppy?
I do. I have a lot of people that say, I need Poppy. I need Poppy. It's just, I don't know. Sometimes it's so amazing the work that she can do and any other therapy horse or miniature horse that they can do that you can't explain it, you know, as well as the visual side of it. When you see it, then you're a believer.
Have you talked to people who've been around therapy animals and realize how this all works?
Yes. We were at a training in Columbus about a year ago, and I had showed the sheriff down in Columbus pictures of her and the thought that we were going to make her a therapy horse for the sheriff's office. And he was like, absolutely. Like, why not? That would be amazing.
Hmm.
So there's other counties too that.
This may spread.
It may spread. It may spread.
And we were, before we recorded, she's already figured out the way news works and exchange of features and stories. You said you've already gotten to California?
Yep, there's on her Facebook page through the sheriff's office, there's been shares that have reached California.
My goodness.
It's amazing.
Now, you're probably not at this point, but I could see you, knowing your dedication, would there be another one added sometime?
Just might. I actually do have two babies at home. So she has a half-brother and a half-sister at home. So there is a possibility.
Uh-huh. Maybe she'll chat with them about things.
Yeah. Yeah, her little brother is pretty docile as well. He's pretty calm, cool, and laid back as well.
How do they communicate between each other?
The same way. They'll talk to each other through voice, or they'll just walk up and snuggle against each other.
Uh-huh. Wow.
I have noticed that lately, the two babies that are at home, or if she's out in the paddock, they're usually pretty close to her, side by side.
Wow. Now, health-wise, because they're miniature, they're not necessarily delicate, or are there any special precautions you have to think about?
The miniatures tend to be a little bit easier to founder or get laminitis because of the sugar content in feed.
Now you have to describe what you just said, that word.
So they can get upset stomachs and get, it's called founder, where their feet get very, very sore. They get very touchy, like they don't even want to walk.
Mm.
And a lot of it is the sugar intake. So they're a little bit more prone to have some more issues because they're little and their bellies aren't the same as a big horse.
Now, hooves are normally, what's the word? Not shaved or...
They're trimmed.
Trimmed.
Yep.
And same with Poppy?
Absolutely. She just had hers done a couple weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And my farrier is Chris. I'm not even going to butcher his last name.
Okay.
He's out of Columbus, and he actually sent me a text after doing her feet, and saying like how amazing she is.
Yeah. Now I'm going to go where others may not. She's inside. Animals do certain things. They don't always control bladders and bowels like we do. how can we explain this? I just see a little bit of a sort of ribbon thing. No, you take it from there. Good luck.
she has a bun bag on, and it's to collect the poop, which she does poop. So in case, you know, we are inside and she does have to go, she can go in the bag and okay. It's not all over the place. Now, if she was, I typically have her, I don't want to say potty train, but I have her where I can take her before we come into somewhere.
Take her a little walk, maybe.
Yep, and she'll go to the grass, and I can tell her to go potty, and she'll go potty, and then she gets a bite of grass as a reward. So she is, we started out, you know, oh, yay, you pottied. Almost like a toddler.
Let's hear it for Poppy.
Right. But now she has succeeded that. She has a little too smart for her britches. Because now if we're out in the grass and we're walking around somewhere, she will stop and pee because she wants a bite of grass. So she can pee.
Chris, is about time to take a break, I think you're telling me. Oh, we got it. We don't mess around here. Okay, we got a few more minutes. She's pretty good shape in that way. Should anybody give any tidbits or avoid that with offer her anything to eat?
Yes. While we're out working, she does not get treats. If someone wants to offer a treat, they could give it to me, and I will make sure that she gets it when we get home and she's back in her home environment. I don't if she gets treats while we're out and about, then that's when she can get lippy and expecting treats from people. So we don't do any treats while we're out and about. But as I said, if people want to give treats, they can, and I'll just take them home with me.
To go along.
Yep, and I'll take them home, and then I can even take pictures and send it to them that she got her treat that they gave.
But don't stand there and hold anything out for her.
Yes, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
I would never want anyone to get hurt.
Sure.
When dealing with an animal, especially a horse. I mean, obviously she's a tiny tot, but horses can still be powerful.
What about little kids scream and carry on?
Is she
trained actually to deal with that?
Absolutely. She's even been to the gun range.
Really?
Yep. I had part of her training. We went to the gun range and they did three different gun styles and shot him off, and she was absolutely, I mean, she like move her head, which, absolutely. She's screaming, hollering. It doesn't matter. She is.
Okay. Well, we can look forward, folks. You'll get your chance some way, somehow. She'll be at public events, I guess. And when you see Poppy, just approach her and follow directions of Shelley. Shelley Privet is the overseer. She's really kind of like mom, I guess, in many ways, and owns this wonderful miniature horse and owns mom and dad, as a matter of fact. Thanks for what you're doing. It's terrific.
You're welcome. I enjoy it.
And it literally is going to be life-changing. I think you've already figured out.
Yes, it has been. But it's an amazing life change. Being able to let her go out and do the work that she needs to do fills my heart.
All the best, Shelley. Thanks for bringing Poppy to see us. And I'm Tom, and great to have you with us.
Thank you.
And there you just heard the engine of a 1943 Fairchild PT-26. That's right, folks, about an 80-year-old aircraft. It's here at the Union County Airport, and we are pleased to learn more about it with the very able help of Mr. Kevin Corderud. Did I say it right that time?
That's close enough for government.
Well, good to see you.
Glad to be here.
You are with a group that I think folks need to learn more about. It's called the Commemorative Air Force. Now, is that a relatively new group, or has that been around a while?
Well, the Commemorative Air Force has actually been around since the 1950s, and it came together with a bunch of aircraft pilots and crop dusters that decided to buy a World War II airplane on surplus. So they got a P-51 Mustang and turned it into a flying club, and then like anybody else, kind of like with cars and boats, I said, well, you know, we need a second one. And now it's grown to over 180 aircraft, and we have thousands of members all over the globe.
That's terrific. This is the Buckeye Wing, based here at the airport. And do you have a rank with this?
Well, there's actually, it's kind of amusing within the Commemorative Air Force, is that they actually brought up that question early on. And they said, should we have rank, just like the military? And they decided, you know, that would just get in the way of progress. So everybody that joins the Commemorative Air Force is actually a colonel.
Oh,
so it's a very thin, flat organization, but it does lead to a lot of collaboration and cooperation. So.
You're a gentleman that lives in New Albany, we might mention, in central Ohio. What's your background real quick as far as the day job?
Yes, the day job. And so the day job is I'm actually an IT guy, right? So I'm a project manager, and I work here in the U.S., and I go all over the world, and I start up projects and run projects, and, you know, work a little bit with some airlines, work a lot with, like, energy and, you know, pipeline companies and whatnot. But that's my day job. I just like run projects.
Now, as you do that job, have you found, if you've gone around the world, this interest in these old aircraft is, what, all over the place?
Absolutely. I mean, I'm just kind of astounded that no matter where I go, whether it's Latin America, you know, the Middle East, like with Emirates, there's always somebody that says, hey, you know, I know what a P-51 is. And it's like, yeah, I've had a chance, you know, to be associated with P-51 Mustangs. But yeah, it's literally kind of like a global, very enthusiastic community, which is really great. So no matter where you go, you've always, quote unquote, got family somewhere.
That's great. Back to the aircraft, nice yellow color, and of course it's a two-seater, and we've heard it run, we've seen you fly in it. Tell us a bit more about the aircraft itself. It was made in the U.S. for the Canadians?
Yes, actually it was made by Fairchild Aircraft Corporation in Hagerstown, Maryland, and they had a contract with the U.S. to develop a trainer that would mimic combat aircraft. In fact, if you actually go and look in the manual for the PT-26 and its variants, PT-19, PT-23, it actually has combat power settings. So Fairchild Aircraft wanted to take something that, you know, bigger than a Piper Cub and say, can we make this airplane fly like a fighter aircraft?
Is it very difficult by your standards to fly?
You know, it's they're all have their different elements of like difficulty, and this being a, you know, a tailwheel aircraft has its own kind of set of complexities. But it was actually meant to take people, you know, for their first initial flying experiences and start to push them down the road to become a fighter or a bomber pilot. So it has, you know, I think a lot of forgiveness, you know, in the way it actually handles. But if you want to go out and do stuff, right, do loops and all this, which we don't do acrobatics. There's actually a couple interesting videos out on YouTube that show Army Air Corps pilots looping and rolls and all this. So, in this type of aircraft. But actually, because it was meant to mimic, right, it was meant to be, kind of, they called it like the cradle of fighter pilots. It was meant to be kind of like the birthplace for people to fly Spitfires, Hurricanes, Mustangs, as well as bombers like the Lancaster.
What do we need to know about the engine?
The engine, well, the engine is a Ranger 440. It's pretty stout. It is a bit heavy, but it does develop 200 horsepower, right, which is enough. You can go out and do all sorts of maneuvers. It's a super reliable engine, and it almost, when you look at it, you kind of go, this thing should be in a tractor, just because it's just like a big, massive amount of metal. It's actually upside down, though, which is interesting because it makes the lines of the plane look better, and the Messerschmitt 109, if you look at that, the Daimler-Benz 601 engines and all that were hung upside down as well.
Now, that's interesting.
Yeah.
But you keep it right side up, though, most of the time.
Yeah, right side up, yes, by all the regs and everything, especially if you have a big breakfast. Yeah, you don't want to be flying upside down. So.
For those who would like to see this thing fly or maybe even take a ride in it, mm-hmm. is that possible?
Yeah, that is possible. We've actually filed for our living history flight exemption with the Commemorative Air Force headquarters and also the FAA, so we're waiting for that to come through that we can give rides to the general public. So we'll be able to do that, but you can hit our website and, you know, see we got events that are coming up literally during, you know, beautiful Ohio summer. It's like mm-hmm. every weekend there's something going on.
Okay, let's name that. I believe it's CAFBuckeyeWing.org.
.org.
That'll
exactly
get you there.
Exactly
again,
right.
CAFBuckeyeWing.org. Mm-hmm. And so check it out, and there's a lot of things happening.
Yep, Facebook and the website, so we got a pretty good social media presence out there.
Forgot to ask it. When you're learning to fly this, is the student up front or in the rear?
The student's actually up front, and the instructor's in the rear. So, and before, you know, in the 40s, before they had, you know, kind of improved radio technology, because they didn't have radios in these things, they had a little tube that the instructor would speak. Go to the ears of the student, like turn left, turn right, or oh my God, that's dreadful. Right, but they call it a ghost board tube from where it actually came in the UK. So.
This stick control?
Yeah, it's got stick, you know, big rudder pedals. You notice it's actually a pretty ruggedly built plane because it was meant to be a trainer.
So it's got to handle some tough landings, etc.?
Absolutely, which students, and we're all students, right? No matter how much we fly, we're all students. Invariably, you're going to have, you know, some rough landings and whatnot. And they were meant to fly off of grass. Actually.
Okay.
Yeah.
How many hours usually did it take to train somebody? You have any idea?
You know, it varies.
Because it depends on the need or the assignment, maybe?
Depends upon the need, right? So the average U.S. Army Air Corps pilot that went into flying fighter aircraft or bombers, they actually had a fair amount of hours, sometimes like 200, 300 hours, because they would go through a pretty intensive training program in the States. And they would start out in planes like the PT or the Stearman and then kind of graduate to, you know, more advanced aircraft. Some air forces that were desperate because they were kind of on the losing end would only take 60 to 70 hours and put people in fighters.
Well, it's great to learn about this great aircraft, Kevin. And there's one story we want to leave you with, and that is this aircraft came through Columbus almost off of out of the factory.
Out of the factory.
Tell me quickly how that happened.
Yeah. So I was connecting with a UK researcher I know pretty well, Tony Broadhurst, and I said, tell me the history of this airplane. And he sent me, you know, they call the data card, where the airplane kind of moves around different places. And literally when it came right out of the factory, its first landing upon the delivery flight was actually in Columbus, Ohio.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. I just found this out last night. So this is kind of like a really, really big kind of historical moment for all of us.
So welcome back, aircraft,
mm-hmm,
to Central Ohio.
Absolutely.
He's shown us a great future up here at Union County Airport with this wonderful aircraft. And thank you.
Great. Thank you.